an addition at Leopold, and how would we handle that? And the administration did provide an option on that, option CP4 new LK 118-2006, which we all received. And under that option, we have in 5 years, is this 5 years? Right.
No, this is this year's.
You didn't have a five-year projection.
I think the one.
Oh, it doesn't give the numbers. Is that right, Mary? It doesn't show what it is with the changes?
Correct. The CP4, and this is always our difficulty, is mm-hmm. MapTition uses current students. Mm-hmm. So this would show if we rearrange the boundaries according to the map, then if you go in that middle section, CP4, that would be the seats available this school year. In the far column where it says projections without changes, those are the projections that are in that big document that you have gotten a couple of times.
So it doesn't show the changes?
No, we don't have the capability of doing that, so you always have to keep in your head where the growth is going to occur. It's a flaw in how we have to work.
But we've moved the kids around in the West attendance area, it looks like primarily from Leopold into Midvale Lincoln, and the capacity for the total West area is 98%. So just when things are said like there is no other option, and if you don't agree with us, show us another option. From my perspective, this CP4 new LK 118-2006 does that.
Ruth?
Well, thank you. I was just going to ask if we are going to discuss, you know, we were asked to ask questions and try and bring forward options, and Ms. Kubza has. Are we going to discuss that also tonight?
Sure, if you want to.
Good.
Okay. I would like to kind of raise a question about this. This uses current year numbers, Lori, and using current year numbers, we end up with schools at 98, 96, 95, and 94% capacity, which leaves precious little growth over the next 5 years. And specifically, the two that are highest at 98 and 96% include areas of new development where we know there will be additional growth.
Well, the chart also includes the 2011 capacity, which I presume includes the projections that the district made and still has the West attendance area at 98% capacity, while we have Memorial attendance area at 111% capacity and the La Follette area at 106% capacity. So it seems to me that when the district sets its priorities on looking at building, we at least have to look at Memorial first, Memorial first, La Follette second, West third. And that's just my view on this, and you may disagree, but that's the way I look at the numbers, given the district's projections on the 2011.
Okay. And one of the things, when I sat in on some of the task forces, that Mary and Jane reminded the task force members, and I want to remind the board, is that this is more than numbers. And while mathematically the number of seats available exceeds the number of kids, it's not always going to be possible using the things we've said are important in the past to fill those seats. And give you a small example. If you looked at that chart at the beginning about under the first tab that talked about that showed you the current enrollment and the projected enrollment school by school. Franklin is over capacity. Randall is under capacity. You can't move a family or set of families into that area because you can't guarantee they'll all be third through fifth graders. So it may be that some of that capacity is just not doable. The other issue, and I know that, that this is something the board has looked at and the committee, the task force looked at, is how many times do you move people to take advantage of where the space is, and how far are you willing to move people? And to say that those will fit using this year's numbers doesn't give us a good guideline on what the consequences of making those changes are 3 and 4 and 5 years down the road, and how many other times we'll have to make changes. And certainly one of the things that we heard loud and clear from the community was, don't move us because, you know, don't make us the third level move. You have to move us in order to move somebody else into our school. And I think that I know that this is similar to some of the plans that the task force did look at and rejected. Lori?
Just when you talk about the number of kids that are moving and not wanting to do move after move after move, I think that does mischaracterize what this option is, because, I mean, I did ask the administration for an option that would work with no addition at Leopold, so I presume you gave me one that would work. And for the West area, I count here that that would be a move of current SUIT students of 63 in the West attendance area. So we are not talking about move after move after move. And they're also moving children from Leopold to Lincoln Midvale. And we're not talking about moving from Franklin Randall or any of the other things. So I just think if people would take a look at this option, they would see that another option is not as drastic as sometimes the board makes it appear.
Well, I guess I would ask, Mary, what happens? My recollection is Swan Creek was supposed to grow to 65 students.
61 more students.
61 more students.
81, I think.
And is there space at Midvale Lincoln for them?
Well, again, totally there is. When I tried to do this, the thing that I always try to move is into contiguous areas. So I start at the bottom of Leopold attendance area, and I'm limited by bus rides, and so I can go through Midvale, Lincoln, Franklin Randall, or Chavez. Those are the four schools that would be set out. I run into bus problems if I go the southern part, so I went to the middle part, and so then, and this one we're bringing High Ridge Trail back to the west attendance area, so that area isn't counted in that there are 56 students there that come from Chavez back to the west attendance area and go into Thoreau. And then I just kept moving up, and it just is that rolling, and so the I had to take out of the middle, and I went to either Midvale Lincoln or Thoreau. Thoreau was already full, so I had to go to Midvale Lincoln. It would be tight, it appears. I think we'd have to look at some other programmatic changes, possibly. Busing, we had one plan earlier on, I think it's one of the 1A, where moved a large section of the middle to Franklin Randall. The bus times work there as well. So it's a toss-up. I was trying to keep the west attendance area in the west attendance area. So that was what I was trying to do.
And my question is really, what happens 2 and 3 and 5 years out for these changes at both Midvale Lincoln and at Leopold?
I think, again, just looking at the data sheet, Midvale Lincoln is anticipated that they will be at 741 students and 89% capacity in 2011. If we move all of Swan Creek and a middle section of Leopold, they will probably be over capacity. You'd probably have to domino into Franklin Randall at that point. And you could potentially move some of that now into Franklin Randall.
And what about Leopold?
Well, Leopold, without McGaw Park, and McGaw Park is the wild card, and we talked to the planner again, Leopold would only have Oak Meadow to account for, which is about 40 more students. If McGaw comes in, that's another 147 students, but that's a ways away yet.
Okay. Ruth?
Mary, I think earlier in this long sequence of task force meetings, I asked some questions because, tell me if I got your answer wrong. I've been concerned that what was the large low-income property complex of apartments across the street on Post Avenue from Leopold, has been set for demolition to some extent. There was one developer who seemed to be very friendly to Leopold School. There's now a new mega developer. I continue to be worried about whether those numbers, total kids somewhere in the next 5 years, isn't going to go down considerably. And I think what you told me about the projections was because we really don't know what's going down, we're continuing to project them at that area is producing about the same number of kids, I believe, for Leopold and Chavez. Is that correct?
Correct. We did talk to the planner about that same thing when we talked about McGaw, and they do not have anything concrete yet in their offices for plans.
So they don't know what's emptying and they don't know what's filling up. I mean, that's another one of the big unknowns. Can I switch and ask Lori a question about her proposal? Mm-hmm. I think I'm looking. You made a reference to 63 students moving. Is that really the 63 under your proposal that would move from Leopold? Is that what you meant?
That's what I added up.
Okay.
The 44 and the 19.
Okay, Juan. Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
Excuse me. Carol is right. This plan is. Resembles very much a plan that the West Memorial West Area Task Force had looked at. If you look at the map alone, Swan Creek people will be sending their children huge distances across the city, across the Beltline, past two schools, on their way to a paired school. And they have written to us very strongly, very passionately, and said, please send us to Leopold, or don't send us into the Midvale-Lincoln pairing because of that kind of distance issue. It's gigantic. Nothing in the city even comes close to matching it. Plus, if you look at that development, the red line defining that area, only half of it has streets on it. And you can bet that half is going to be developed. I don't understand this. Why this refusal to consider building an addition to Leopold? It's beyond my grasp, and I'm not going to try to characterize it.
Okay. Juan?
I recall when we put the additional rooms at Lincoln, remember, that time ago? And we paid for it very different than, we didn't go out to referendum for such. This kind of addition of seven rooms would not be being able to go into that fund to try to cover that particular expense.
That's correct. This is a much more expensive addition. The Lincoln addition was literally six rooms and a hallway.
I remember.
This one is a very different kind of addition in terms of how it has to attach to the building, but also When you take the school to that next size, we've got to have more common space. So this would build additional common space also to account for being able to serve the lunch and those kind of things.
And I thanks for answering that. I just wanted to know. But the other issue for me on the transportation thing, again, I'll go back to my days when I worked with the Boys and Girls Club. I did travel with some of the kids from the Allied Dunsmarsh neighborhood to their respective schools, you know, Crestwood and Stevens and so forth, because some parents told me, you don't really know, you know, what time I got to get up and what time I got to wait for the bus and all that stuff. So I did. And that, you know, we've done that to those kids too long. And now putting that additional burden, as Bill was saying, to these kids bypassing certain schools and taking such a long bus ride, again, and I guess that's where I feel good that I don't necessarily have kids in the district myself, but I wouldn't want to put that kind of responsibility, that kind of sacrifice on my kid to wait for the bus when it's cold out there, get ready to get on the bus, take the long bus ride, and then wait for them to come back home later on in the evening. I think that's not a direction, or that's not the route that I would want to go. And let me just ask one more question. Art, on a new school at Far West Side, what would that cost us? Let's say we were to go out there for a referendum.
I think the costs are a little bit over $17 million, if I remember, which includes furniture, land, the whole thing. So a little bit over $17
million. Okay, I recall one of the parents that came, I think, from Swan Creek that said that first the initial capacity would be somewhere like 55-60%.
Probably.
About 55-60%.
That would be. That was true of Chavez. When you build a new when you build a new school, you don't build them full. I mean, you know, you're building them to account for more growth. So that I don't remember the exact amount, but 54-55%, which would be very similar to where we were with Chavez.
I recall the PTO from Chavez. The PTO from that area had taken a few of us board members on a bus where the land wasn't developed yet. Yeah. That was going to be developed, which would bring in young families that would eventually fill the capacity that we have at Chavez.
Yeah, and as we've said many times, you can drive all over the Far West Side. There's no question there's significant development happening there, and we'll continue.
I just have one more question. The seven rooms, I want to go back to the seven rooms again. If we were to do that, could we do a combination of where we wouldn't have to go out fully for the referendum and use part of the fund? I'm just asking that out because I don't want to affect our AAA. You know,
everything that we borrow from the state trust fund, we have to pay for under the revenue cap.
Okay.
We have to pay that debt service. We have a fairly significant amount of money there now. My sense is that people are no less likely to vote for a referendum for $4 million than they are for $2 million. When you're looking at the addition itself in terms of going after part of it, a $4 million. Or difference between a $4 million and a $2 million referendum in terms of property tax on an average home is, you know, just a very, very few dollars. So I wouldn't think in terms of a referendum there would be any advantage to doing that, and it would cost us under the revenue cap.
I'm just trying to be creative or think outside the box and how we could potentially fund this without going out to the voters every time.
Somebody could fund it and we could name it after them. That would be one.
Well, that I don't have a problem with that.
I move for that.
Johnny and then Lori.
I think she had her hand up first.
Oh, I'm
Lori
sorry.
Had her hand up somewhere.
I'm sorry.
Gentlemen.
Thank you. I just want to talk about transportation information a little bit because we did get a 5-page memo in our book on that. Swan Creek to either Lincoln Midvale max length is 17 to 30 minutes, and I do believe Lincoln is the next closest school from Leopold. But I think when you look at the far south side of the Leopold attendance area, one thing that's really striking is in these transportation numbers, they have time to pick up numbers and then time to drive numbers. So I presume time to pick up means to go around to all the kids' houses and get them, and then time to drive is actually get them once you all have them to get to the school. And for the southern part of Leopold attendance area, the time to pick up is 35 minutes. And that's significantly more in most cases than any of our other attendance areas. So when we apply our 45-minute rule, and it takes us 35 minutes to just pick up the kid, I guess, does that mean that those kids just deserve to go within 10 minutes wherever? I mean, is that what the intention is? Because that doesn't seem to me to be the same rule that applies in other places. So I just think this transportation information is very interesting, and I would urge people to look at that.
I think our rule has been the length of time the first kid to get on is the way we've applied it. The length of time the first kid to get on until they get to school is the way we've applied it in the past.
Certainly, I mean, that's one of our guidelines, 45 minutes as a maximum length, and in those sorts of situations we may have to modify it. The other issue that we have to confront is one of the budgetary issues is cost. When we keep our bus times to 45 minutes or less, we double the bus routes. We can't do that if they're longer than 45 minutes. So the cost goes from being half a bus route to being a full bus route. So that's another piece of what we have to think about. And actually, my reading of that chart is that it was 25 minutes to pick up. And
page 4 or 5, southern part of the Leopold attendance area.
Right.
Time to pick up. If you look under Lincoln, Midvale, or Chavez, when they go to Leopold, it only takes 25 minutes to pick up. But when they go to Lincoln, Midvale, or Chavez, it takes 35
okay,
minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to add another route. That's why. This, if you read the note at the bottom, it explains that.
It takes longer to pick up with two buses.
All the kids, right now we have two routes that pick up Swan Creek and part of the southern part of Leopold. If we split those two areas into two school areas, we'd have one that can pick up all of the lower section because there's only a one bus full of kids that live down there.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
So where there are two buses, there would now be one.
Okay. Juan?
Oh, Johnny.
I just wanted to spice just real quickly. I would like the administration to look into naming rights. Now, again, I don't know if that's the direction.
I'm a little short this week.
How much money?
Maybe Mayor Tom Clowder, we can name it after.
Something. I don't
Mayor
know.
Fitchford.
I think he's got deep pockets. Anyway, I think if this is a direction that the board intends to go, I do think we should explore as many options as we possibly can. And one of those options, I believe, is to truly look at some sort of gift. Now, I don't know how much. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing this out because I've been talking about this since last spring. But I do think it would be a direction that I believe would be appropriate for the district to go this time. And I believe that you know, people that might resonate with people in this community. I believe there's a lot of people, and again, I'm going to stop short. I'm not talking about any businesses. I'm not talking about Best Buy Elementary School. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about maybe there's somebody, a philanthropic person, individual in this community who may want to give a nice gift to this school district. And I think I'd like that to be explored. And again, I don't know how do you. We're not making motions this evening, but again, Barb, I've been saying all these things that I want the administration to do, but I think it'd be appropriate to explore that.
Okay.
If you just write a Dear Santa letter.
Sounds good to me.
We've been good.
Maybe the Promega or Bill Linton. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have Juan and then Bill. Are there others who... and Ruth? Okay. Juan?
Art and Mary, again, you know, I've read every one of them and listened to every email, and Swan Creek, you know, that will always, Swan Creek stands up in my mind every time now. Every time I open my email, I'm waiting for an email from them. They've been pretty good, by the way. I like to keep them in the same, you know, same school because that's going to be very critical, I think, because you know, the construction and the building out there is not going to, I don't think it's going to end or it's going to stop. It's going to continue. And as much as we can cater and respond to them, I think it's going to be very important. Knowing that, and I know the committee did extensive understanding and so forth, I mean, extensive research and discussion and so forth. The recommendation will solidify that from your perspective?
Will solidify the recommendation of building addition?
Yeah. Will it?
Well, certainly solidified, I think, for the foreseeable future.
Right. Until McGaw Park were to build out. I did do a map the other day of just looking at everything south of the Beltline. Mm-hmm. And if all of the areas were to be in the Leopold attendance area, it would take two schools at some point.
My recollection is a little bit over 1,000 kids mm-hmm. there. I think 1,000.
Just south of the Beltline, right down that peninsula, there will be over 1,000 students.
Okay. Bill?
Yes. I'm looking at that bus ride transportation information pages also, and you'll notice that page 1 of 5, dealing with Swan Creek exclusively, if they were transported to Midvale Lincoln, it would be 17 to 30 minutes, and that's with 19 students. You said you anticipate 60 more or 60 total?
60 more.
60 more. That will definitely increase the length of the route. So they are, in fact, going a long period of time. And that's the ideal time. I mean, that's the good weather. I don't get it.
Just a factual question, getting back to the cost of a new school on the far west side. $17 million is the projection, or the estimate for the building. Is the estimate for the operating cost still $500,000 a year, or what would be the operating cost for the new building?
Yes, it would.
$500,000
would be an additional school.
Range. Is that about the right range?
Yes.
Yep, about $540,000.
Okay.
I just want to piggyback on what Ruth. Is that, let's say, building it, opening it, and at that time, wouldn't the cost be different? Depending on what kind of school we build? As far as the operation cost?
No, the operational costs include a principal, librarians, custodians, those kind of things that are additional that we don't have now. That would be about the same.
Okay. Johnny?
One of the things I just wanted to address real quick, and I won't talk about naming rights again. the fact that in terms of kind of looking at the progression of what has gone on in the Leopold community, one of the things that I think that in terms of the addition looks like it would do is it would at least solve their issue of overcrowding now, and that in essence, you know, and this is the unfortunate part. I mean, obviously there was a plan in place from the year 2000, maybe even before that. And I think that this board truly, as much as it possibly can, it needs to give the people in that community what they want, because the board made a commitment to the community when it acquired the land from Oregon and said, you will be attending Leopold School. And, you know, unfortunately, we know again last spring the referendum failed. However, I believe we owe it to the community out there in Leopold to solve their overcrowding, which means what the task force recommended in terms of an addition. But one of the things, I think we'll have to discuss is kind of timing of things, when things happen. And I guess I have what I would call a concern with the process, because we, in essence, gave this charge to community members And this is what they came up with. If we didn't like what they wanted to say, then we should have just did it ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. We looked at the recommendations on the east side, and I believe wholeheartedly we should look at the recommendations on the west side. And I think if we don't do that, we have totally disrespected our community, totally disrespected them. We might not like the outcome as individual board members, but I think as a collective, as a board, I think it's very important, just as Mr. Lopez said, in terms of being unified. I will tell you right now that if we go down the list and we vote for something and that I lose, if as an individual board member, if I lose, I will move to reconsider. I think that's the only thing right to do when you involve your community in the process. You have them make recommendations to you. You might not accept the recommendations, but you should accept the will of the board. And again, I guess one of the things that, I didn't go to any of the meetings because, again, this was a task force issue. If I went to the board meeting or went to the task force meetings, I think that'd be totally disrespectful. That was my own personal opinion. We grappled with this the whole last spring, had thick binders just like this. And we couldn't come up with good plans. We really couldn't. And we couldn't come up with a plan B. This one, at least now, we have plan A, we have plan B.
C and D, too.
C and D, you know. But at least we have some plans. And I'm going to tell you that I believe wholeheartedly. I'm happy that both task forces were able to put the work in, but I'm not going to disrespect them. And what I mean by that is I'm going to accept what they say, make as few modifications as possibly can, but I think the spirit of what they're saying is I want to hold true to that. And I hope that the board would do that as well, as individuals and as a collective. And you always have the opportunity, you can always say no, but I really think that disrespects the process. And I think people have worked too long and too hard on these plans to disrespect them. And I hope they and if people do that, I hope they see at the ballot box board members that don't look at what the recommendations are and look at them wholeheartedly. Yeah, absolutely right. Whoa is correct. Because I think people work too hard, too long on these things to just look at it and just kind of shuffle it away. We gave this charge to the board. It took the task force.
Ruth and then Lori.
I agree, Mr. Winston. People have worked too long and too hard for us to treat their recommendations lightly, and I don't take them lightly. I think one of the ways you show respect for the recommendations is you put this whole set of issues into a 5-year plan. You have a referendum plan that tells people where we're going this year, where we're going several years from now. Is this the first school, the second school? You know, what are we going to do? And you come to them with something that the whole community can support. Some of the people who most strongly supported some of these, the main recommendation of the Weston Memorial Task Force also said, be very careful about how you go to referendum. They didn't say, we hope you're having a, maybe they wanted to, but they didn't say, we hope you're having a meeting next week and we'll go to referendum as soon as possible and we'll not, and be sure you make that decision before you've made decisions on the budget and a possible budget referendum and good luck. They said, please do it carefully. And to me, part of that means you do it as part of a more than 1-year plan. And you don't go to referendum at the first possible choice. Chance, sorry.
No one's fine.
Lori?
I think those of us who are on the board may have different views of why we're elected and how we're elected and what our responsibilities are. I believe and take very, very seriously what I believe is my responsibility to act as a policymaking board, think prospectively, think long range, think district wide. In my view, doing a long range plan is the proper way for the board to conduct business. As I said before, I'm very troubled that we're not doing that. It's apparent that the majority of the board doesn't want to do it and wants to make decisions without having a long-range plan, and I'll be on the minority on that vote. And I'm not going to be bullied into not taking my position, which is, I think, the way to go is a long-range plan. And I agree with you. People will then make decisions on how they want this district governed, and they'll do that at the ballot box. And I guess I see that that may have happened last year when I was elected. So I take very seriously why I'm here and what my role is and how I'm going to conduct myself and my business.
You know, again, I have said more times than not about unified boards. And we're just going to agree to disagree. We're not. We're not. We're not going to be unified. And, you know, I'm not going to say that's too bad because, again, I think anytime you have a referendum, anytime you do anything, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. Now, we had, when we first talked about doing these task forces, we made motions. We talked about different things. I mean, I can look at this piece of paper here and I can say, wow, you know, here's the process, here's the charge, here's the membership. We did all those things. And if we didn't, and again, this always goes back to, we always talk about the process. When we don't like the outcome, we talk about the process. And I think in this case, it's very unfair. And I think, again, in terms of the long-range plan, what is the long-range plan for the Leopold community? As we heard from Ms. Gobronson, if we shift people from Leopold to Midvale Lincoln, is that it? We could be in a quagmire there. If we shift people, just disperse them throughout the whole west side. This is the five-year plan. And again, I don't want to get into our... See, again, I don't want to confuse the issues because I think that's what happened too much last spring. We confused the issues, and it confused our community. If we're trying to build capacity, we should build capacity. If we are trying to figure out what is the budgetary issues or implications for doing these recommendations, well, then we should have said that to the task force going into this. But we didn't do that. And again, I don't mind us looking at a long-range plan or anything like that, but why did we say that this past fall? I don't understand. We made motions, we had the opportunities, we didn't do it. Now we've got a plan here, now we don't like the plan. So, I mean, again, I guess my thing is that, you know, and I have shared this with the president, shared this with the superintendent and anybody else, that I think we should just vote. Bottom line, put it on the table, make motions, get a second, have some discussion, and then vote. That way, you know, we can talk about this all night long, whatever. It's almost 9 o'clock now, and I would like to hear the public testimony. But... And please, believe me, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody who doesn't agree, because you have that right. You absolutely have that right. But at the same time, I want to hold true when we talk about community involvement, this involved the community. And I don't want to disrespect what they say. I truly don't. And a five-year plan truly does mean building capacity. And if you don't think that it does, well, we just vote no.
Okay, I do want to bring this a little bit to conclusion or closure at this point for a period of time so we can hear from the public. But I have a few things that I want to say beforehand. I see your hand up, Juan, but I'm ignoring it.
I've been ignored before.
First of all, one of the things that both task forces said and said in a variety of different ways was the importance of thinking long range, that we shouldn't opt for short-term solutions. From the East area, that meant not assuming that we needed to close schools just because enrollment was down at this point. In the West and Memorial area, that meant that while you can move kids around and fit them into existing space, the long-term need was not dealt with, and that ultimately we would need to build, and if we were going to ultimately need to build, we probably ought to do it earlier rather than later to avoid continued disruption to families. And that was true not only for the Memorial area, which you can also move people around for a while, or the West area. And I want to apologize to Ruth and Lori in sort of discarding this discussion of a long-range plan. I'm not real clear, and perhaps, you know, maybe Lori, you can do an outline for me of what a long-range plan, a five-year plan for the district would look like that's different from what we already have on the books. We did ask both task forces to prepare us the recommendations that would be good for 5 years. For I think it's 3 to 5 years is what we said, but we really wanted a long-range look at that. And they came back to us saying, you have to take a long-range look. Pardon? And the LaFalle, you know, as I said earlier, we have in place a long-range plan for the LaFalle area. Where, as their enrollment grows, we have land. And I was out on the Far East Side yesterday for the La Follette High School student-built house, which is a fabulous house, and it's on sale right now. If you call it,
and we need you to buy it.
It's for sale, and you can call the district about it. It's just fabulous. But every time I go out there, and I don't go out there very often, I am just amazed at all of the houses and multifamily units. I think there are a number of duplexes or condos or something that are sprouting on farmland there. So we do have in place a long-range, and we have had for a long time, a long-range plan for the La Follette area. We did have a long-range plan for the West area that was a sequential plan that involved first building an addition to Leopold and then a second school, which didn't meet with community or total board approval. And so we're back looking for a new long-range plan for the West area and the Memorial area. And again, we had a long-range plan for the Memorial area, and we still have in place a plan that says as enrollment gets to a particular point, we look at the need for an additional school. Now, we also have our set of guidelines, and what I've been making notes on are we seem to have a set of values that have come through from our discussions from the task forces that perhaps we should put into some sort of coherent plan. But if you want to outline for me, Lori, what elements you would see that we need for a district-wide long-range plan, I'm certain we should look at that. And I guess my question to you is, if we have that in place, are you comfortable with following the recommendations then from the task forces?
you're really putting the cart before the horse, because tonight you've made it very clear where that has to end up. I don't know if you would have, if we would have went through a sequential process, which also would have included all the information that the task forces provided us, whether we would have ended up at that place. And now we'll never know, and the community will never know. So I'm not going to recreate something after the fact as a way to kind of justify that we went ahead and made decisions without having that plan. It's disappointing. So it's really the process that it takes to get there that's important, not creating, not having a paper document that then you can point to. So,
okay. And then I really will express my disappointment that this was not something you brought to the fore more at the points that we were getting reports and updates on the task force progress, because clearly it's something we should have been working on during that period if it was that critical for you.
And I guess maybe it just comes from a different set of expectations. My expectation as a governing board was that that's what we would be doing. We would be developing a long-range plan. I'm sorry, but it never occurred to me that we would be making these type of decisions, especially after the failed referendums, without having a long-range plan. I just assumed that the recommendations that we were going to be getting and the information from the task force would be fitting in that. I guess my assumption on what I think is good practice isn't necessarily the same as other people's assumptions.
Well, I think we all, I mean, I think we operate on the assumption that what we are doing is good practice. I think we all do that. And I will also say that part of the role of a school board member is to make sure that our assumptions are explicit enough so the rest of us can deal with them. And as I said, I don't see, I mean, I really would like you to give me that kind of outline so I understand a little bit more. I mean, because I would have said that what we have here are in fact long-range plans for the district. And clearly it's not what you mean. And I need a little bit more of a roadmap to understand the distinctions you're making that I don't see. Ruth?
I'm not surprised we're having this discussion, because it's been my experience we have this discussion in some form or another at the end of each of these sequences of long-range planning meetings that don't really, in my view, create long-range plans. Or when we get to the final budget, it is always the fault of the minority who have not come forward with the more creative ideas that would have persuaded the majority to do it in a different way. I think the message throughout this last year has been very clear that the president and some others, you have a majority, and you can get the task forces you want. You can ignore criticisms of the budget process. You can ignore criticisms of what is long-range planning. That's not really a discussion. But when it comes time, when you're ready all of a sudden to go to referendum, then people are open for a couple minutes to hear what others have to say, with the caveat that, as Johnny just said, if we got the votes, we're going ahead. I don't think Lori missed any clues. I think both of us have many times asked for topics to be seriously considered as part of planning, and the best you're going to get is a meeting a couple weeks later for a half hour or so, and then we'll move on. And that's the best you're going to get. I think we still have the spring before us. We do not have a budget yet. Lori has made a proposal that appears to me to assume a new school. She's not debating with you about the new school, as far as I can tell. And there are other questions that she's raised, that I've raised, that others have raised, about what do we want the school district to look like 5 years from now? Where will the buildings be? The fact that we've bought some land is not, to me, a plan that might be part of a plan that allows us some flexibility in terms of buying land, but that's a very small piece of a plan. And I agree with Laura. I don't think we all have the same expectations of what we should be doing, but I also think that there's been a very clear majority in this board, particularly this year, that is not very interested in bringing together compromises for unity until the very last minute. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was still surprised to see yet again that we go directly from the report of the task forces to the calendar for how fast we can get a referendum going. I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, you have the votes, and if you want to do it tonight, you can do it tonight, or if you want to wait 2 weeks, you can do it 2 weeks from now. But that is not the same as including all the viewpoints on the board.
Juan?
Well, first of all, this isn't the state legislature where we're talking about concealed carry. Second of all, this is in Congress where we're talking about appointing a Supreme Court justice. This is a school board that we're talking about varied opinions that deals with the needs, not the wants, the needs of our children. And I can play politics, Ms. Robarts, with you left and right because we've played it before. You've won sometimes and I've won sometimes. But we're talking about our kids again here. And you know as well as I do that at times when we didn't like the process, we didn't like the outcome, we criticized the process. We criticize the administration, we criticize the superintendent, and we criticize the majority of the board. Now, that's a political football that you're playing out there at whose expense? At the expense of the children in this district. And I, for one, will not sit here and allow you to do that. I respect you serving on this Board of Education. I respect your opinion. I may not always agree, but I will respect that. Now, that's just responding to what you just finished talking about, because again, I'm not sitting here with, and I see it every day with the Republicans and the Democrats in the State Assembly here and the Senate talking about concealed carried weapons. And I'm not going to sit here also because I'm not a member of Congress to deal with whether you agree with abortion rights or you don't agree with abortion rights in appointing a judge to the Supreme Court. We're talking again about children. But let's go again to the situation at hand. And again, I'm not here to push an agenda where I will not sometimes put out an olive branch to try and reach compromise. But again, we're criticizing the process at whose expense. And again, if I was in the minority or if I was in the majority and I don't like the outcome and I haven't liked the outcome, I've criticized the superintendent. I've criticized the school board, and I've criticized certain groups and so forth because I did not like the outcome. But I'm not going to be here and be part of decimating, and I'll use that word, decimating the quality of education that this city and the other 14 school districts around Dane County are accustomed to. I'm not going to be part of that. Even when I don't agree, I'm not going to be part of decimating or destroying the quality of education that this community is accustomed to. And at whose expense? The children that we're trying to serve and educate in this community. And we have challenging kids in our district, and we have different economic backgrounds, different racial backgrounds. And you know what? I come again from a poor, segregated school district in San Antonio, Texas, and I don't want Madison, Wisconsin to end up like the city of San Antonio ended up being, or I don't want it to end up being like a Milwaukee public school system. And they do a great job in Milwaukee public schools, but you know the situation that we have out there. I don't want to be part of that. And Ms. Kubza, I'm not going to bully you. We may not agree, but you know what? I will respect whatever decision you make. But I will not sit here to allow people to destroy and to decimate the quality that we're used to. And again, I've said it real clear. If we go to referendum, we need to support it. If we don't and we change the boundaries, we need to support each other nonetheless, because the hits will come either way. And I know there's groups out there that are getting ready in every any direction we go to criticize us. Well, you know what? God, you know, let's get along more. Let's learn about each other and let's work with each other to reach a compromise. And that's what Republicans and Democrats are doing in the assembly for concealed weapons for guns. And we're not talking about guns here. We're talking about children. We're talking about children.
Okay. I really would like us to take a recess shortly and then come back and have public appearances. But I also want to remind people that we created this task force not through any sort of ramming it through on the part of the majority, but there was a long discussion which looked at the charge and revised it and talked about it. And while my recollection is, Ruth, that you did not support this, the rest of us all did, and that Lori was an integral part in putting together that charge and putting and describing how the task force should operate. This is not a case where I certainly have, I have never in the course of my being president of the board tried to stamp on those who don't agree with me. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, because I have tried very much to respond to whatever issues you raise and to find a way of having them dealt with in one way or another. I don't always agree with you, but this is a board, and we must function together. And we may disagree in the end. I was just saying that across the entire period of time that the Long Range Planning Committee heard reports from the task forces, talked about the preliminary report, I do not recall the statement from anyone saying we need to have to put this into some kind of an overall long-range plan. And certainly there was no discussion last week. And so it did, to me, come a little bit out of left field, and I wasn't real prepared for that. I'm saying, okay, we need a diagram of what this will look like, and we'll see what needs to be part of it. That we will have to go to. The other thing is, I'm sorry about timing too. We are constrained by when elections occur, unless we want to go to a special election. And what you had in your packet were a number of different timelines of the point at which, you know, when you go to referendum, what that means in terms of when the addition or the building is ready for occupancy. If we are going to put something on the April ballot, you're right, it's a very short timeline. And it's not something that I am enthusiastic about. But it exists. It's not something that I had much control over. I am going to ask the administration to at least take the step of putting together the language we would need to go to referendum in April. We have until February 17th to make a final decision on that. This doesn't commit us to it. It just keeps our options open. Now, what I would prefer to do at this point is to take a short recess for all of us, and then come back and have public appearances. And we have about 10 people who want to speak. Is that agreeable?
Could I say one brief thing? I did not vote against the task forces. I made numerous suggestions and wanted other things to happen. I voted for them because I wanted it to be unanimous, and it was clear they were going to go forward.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misremembered exactly the vote, but my point was that that creating the task forces was a joint process. I would like to take a 10-minute recess.